Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Did you know that information is doubling every 12 hours? Think about that. Every 12 hours. 100 years ago, it was doubling every 100 years. In the 1990s, it was doubling every 30 days, but now it's doubling every 12 hours. What does that mean to you, and what does that mean to media today? Well, of course, as you know, it means that we have a lot more information available to us. And as a result, there's a lot more TV, radio, streaming broadcast, podcasts all over the world. But how do you keep track of all of them, or at least the ones that you really like? And where do you find them? Have you ever tried to search for your favorite show on maybe Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney, and it's taken you kind of forever to find it? Even though they have great search tools, it still takes a long time. What if we could solve that for you? What if you could find the shows that you want very quickly and save yourself a whole bunch of time? Well, guess what? I have a guest today that's going to be helping you to quicken your search. And actually, you're going to be finding out not only how to quicken your search, but what else is going on in media today, what you need to know so that you can plan for your future to maybe not only watch the things that you want to watch, but maybe save some money and some time and some energy. How cool is that? All right. We're going to be talking about this and a whole bunch more as soon as I get back from the break. And so stay tuned. Well, welcome back to the show. By the way, I'm calling the show today, The Courage to Find Your Next Great Streaming Watch. And my guest is Aaron Barnhart. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, let me give you a proper introduction here. Aaron Barnhart is the senior editor at Primetimer.com, the web's leading resource for television, news, reviews, and commentary. And he is a pioneer. Aaron first started writing about TV in 1994, including 15 years as a television critic for the Kansas City Star. His work has appeared in The Village Voice, in New York Times, and Entertainment Weekly, and he's been a regular contributor on KGO, KNX, WBAL, KMOX, and APR's Marketplace. Aaron, it's great to have you. This is a great time to be talking about this topic. You know, we're talking about a recession, they tell me again. So a lot of people are going to be back home, maybe. Okay, I hope that recession doesn't hit you, my viewers, but, you know, might hit some. But let's talk about what's going on in the industry right now, TV industry overall. How do you see it right now?
Well, what's going on right now is kind of a leveling up of the streaming services that have come to life in the last 3 or 4 years to compete with what were at that time the big three in streaming: Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime Video. We saw a number of players come on board, and all of these players were backed by major dollars from the big studios that produce most of what we watch on TV and at the movies in America today. So brands like CBS and NBC and Fox that were on the sidelines in streaming wars up till now have come on board. And on the cable side, most of the major cable brands are now also part of some big streaming service. There are basically nine now. I call them the big nine in our book. But at the time that the book came out, we already knew that there were big nine was about to become the big eight because Warner and Discovery have merged. And my guess is, Ken, we're not done with the mergers yet. We're going to see more streaming services consolidate because, frankly, we're reaching this point where consumers are saying, I can't subscribe to all of these. Whether or not there's a recession is real or not, people read about it. I was just out running today with some people, and one of them says, you know, we're putting stuff in envelopes now. I mean, we're taking a pencil to our budget and pinching pennies. And so you know that one of the things everybody's looking at is how many streaming services do I subscribe to and what am I going to get? So on the economic side, to your question, it's a real inflection point for this nascent streaming TV industry that's basically become the way most of us watch TV today.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, the challenge I think a lot of people have out there, myself included, is not only which one to subscribe to, but where to find my shows, right? So, for instance, let's see, somebody recommended a show to me. They do recommend shows to me all the time. And, you know, and I go and the first thing I do is I have to go and Google it. And then, you know, then I have to go through the Google search to try to find who might be playing that show. Is it Amazon Prime? Is it Hulu? Is it Netflix? Where do I find it? And about half the time, even though I find the show and find who's playing it, I still can't find the show. How can we solve that problem?
I think this is a problem that is the result of the explosion in content. You know, you talked about information doubling in your open, Ken, and this has been reflected in the streaming TV world, really the world of television. So about 12 years ago, when I started to move away from traditional newspaper journalism, there were probably about 200 scripted shows in production and probably maybe about 700 or so unscripted reality and whatnot shows in production. So that added up to less than 1,000 shows in production. That number is doubled. And if you think about that, that means that there are writers who were not writing for TV at all, and now they're working maybe not on just one show, but they're writing for one show and developing two other shows. Because now, instead of 200 scripted shows out there, there are 500 scripted shows with no end in sight. And instead of your 700 or so unscripted shows, you have close to 1,500. So there's been this explosion in content, and nobody really has done a great job that we could see of keeping up with it. And so when a group of us came together to launch Primetimer.com 4 years ago, it was really with this mission in mind to help people sort through all of the mess and find the shows that they wanted to watch. And also because we felt like the TV website had really kind of gone by the wayside, that most people who wrote about TV, their websites had been bought up by gaming sites and movie websites. And so they weren't really writing about TV. And this was happening at exactly the time when there was this explosion in content. So the first, you know, advice I have for anybody is just try to find a trusted source to be your guide to the shows, because you're never going to catch all of the shows. But what you want is a source that is watching the new shows and recommending them for you. And then hopefully you can catch the ones there that you want. And then the challenge becomes going back in time and like, what shows did I miss in the past that flew by in this big spigot of content that's become the TV world today.
Wow.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kent Foster. I'm talking with Aaron Barnhart. He is the senior editor for Primetimer, and we're going to talk a little bit about Primetimer. What is Primetimer, and tell us about the book, and you know, how does this all tie together?
As I said, my journey here with Primetimer began when a reader of mine that I've known for many years, who had experience in online and was a bit of a serial entrepreneur himself, named Jed Rosenzweig, approached me and said, you know what, the old TV websites, the ones we used to go to find out what was new on TV, they've all gone away. And so I want to start a new one. And I said, that sounds great, Jed. But what's happened in the meantime, since those old websites went away, is there's been this explosion of TV content. There are hundreds of TV shows in production at any given time. And to be clear, many of them are quite good. We've seen really an increase in production quality among these TV shows. We've also seen a lot of new talent come up. A lot of new voices are in Hollywood today. And you're hearing from a lot of people, a lot of perspectives, different racial perspectives, but also different gender and other ways of life. The immigrant stories are a big deal these days. There's just perspectives that you weren't getting in mainstream American television, and now they have joined the mainstream thanks to streaming TV. But you got the challenge of how are you going to find them? And that's really what we set out to do with the website Primetimer. And as we began to develop our content, we realized that there needed to be kind of something to capture that in book form. We all missed the old video guides that used to come out to tell you what kind of movie you should rent back when people rented movies from the local video store. And we felt that that was actually the perfect vehicle to capture all of the TV shows that are out there and help people find things without that endless scrolling of their remote controls.
So let me ask you, Aaron, how does Primetimer work? Is it an online platform? Is it an offline? Is it a combination? Kind of walk me through that so my listeners know what we're talking about
here. Primetimer.com, it's a really clean, well-lit place to find shows. So every day we post new features all about the latest that's happening in TV. We also do reviews of shows. I just reviewed the new 6-part documentary series dropping tomorrow on HBO Max about the life of Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. So I do a couple of reviews every week. My colleagues contribute as well. We also do a couple of podcasts, one of which follows everyone's favorite female-hosted Yellfest, The View. That's called the View and Review podcast, and it gets a lot of traffic. And I also host a biweekly conversation with our editors called Primetimer podcast. So as you can see, now you got a website, you got a podcast, you have various ways of accessing our content. And then the book came along really, Ken, because we just realized, you know what, we're like anybody else. Like, did we talk about that show? Did we review that show? Gosh, that was 6 months ago, 12 months ago. There's so much television these days. And if you go online and ask your friends to recommend shows for you, I think we've all done this. We've gone on and asked our social media friends what it is that they could recommend to us. You just get barraged with recommends, and you don't really know if any of them are good for you or not. So one of the things we really wanted to do with our Primetimer guide to streaming TV was tell people, look, if you like this kind of show, you'll like that kind of show. And so in this fat 444-page book, we not only have over 1,000 concise reviews of TV shows with the idea of telling you whether this show is right for you or not, but in the back, we've got dozens of lists recommending probably, I would say, at least half the shows in our book are sorted into these lists that say, you know, if you like political dramas, if you like rom-coms, if you like very British humor, if you like Ozark, if you like Bridgerton, here are some other shows that you may have missed that you can watch on streaming. And we tell you exactly where to find it.
Oh, I love that. I mean, this is really powerful for my audience. I think this will save us a lot of time, energy, and effort. You know, speaking of reviews, I can't tell you how many reviews that I've gone to, and I'm sure my audience has gone to, if they have a high rating and yet it's either a poor quality a production, or it's just a storyline that just doesn't, like, you know, doesn't even flow. And you're like, how did this get a 5-star rating, right? And I know it's by, you know, it's audience review is what they tell me. But what you're telling me now is that you're going to have another source to be able to really review what the shows that I really like and you know, or new ones that are being recommended, I would think. Is that what you're saying here?
Yeah. We spent the better part of a year developing the Primetimer Guide. And part of this was that we realized that while each of our contributors brings their own point of view to their review of a TV show and their recommendations of a TV show, if this book was going to be successful, it needed to have a very uniform approach to telling people, if you like this kind of show, you'll like this other kind of show. And in our reviews, I can turn to any page and I can see that our capsule reviews give you a one-line summary. So you can find out very quickly if the description of the show even appeals to you. We often tell you right there in the review if the producer, the director, or one of the writers on the show has worked on similar shows, so you can maybe recognize birds of a feather that way. And like I say, in the end, every show in here has been recommended. We know nobody has time anymore to waste, you know, reading about turkeys. And we certainly don't have room in our book for 1-star TV shows. But we do understand that everybody's got a different set of tastes. And so our goal here, and I don't know if we hit it or not, but the early reviews certainly suggest that we got close, was that we wanted to tell people exactly what type of show. Is it a sci-fi drama? Is it a documentary? Is it a musical comedy? And I'm just reading descriptions off of a page accessed at random here. How long is it? What kind of a time commitment do I need to make? That's very important to people. Like, don't give me something with 28 episodes. Give me something that I can watch this weekend. Give me something I can watch tonight. We have a whole list of called One Night Only, and it's just things that you can watch in an evening.
Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When I come back, you know, a lot of my audience are individuals that have shows, and I bet you they're wondering, how do I get on Primetimer? How do I get listed on there? So we'll be right back, and we'll talk about that. Hi, Ken D. Foster here. Are you in a place that you would like to unleash the power within your mind? I teach a class. It's called The Limitless Experience. This is about intentional living. It's a great opportunity to learn how to operate your mind efficiently, expand your knowledge, tap into your inner wisdom, and connect with like-minded individuals who are evolving and making a difference in this world. This class is designed to help you unlock your true potential and achieve success in all areas of your life. By attending this class, you will gain valuable insights into your life purpose, legacy, how to get unstuck, how to break chronic patterns that are stopping your success, overcome limiting beliefs, and develop a positive mindset that will help you achieve your goals. I hope to see you soon at the Limitless Experience. I always love that little bumper that comes back in. See the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Today we are seeing things we've never seen before, so maybe we'll be able to do some new things. One of which is, how does somebody, let's say, get their show or I don't know if you review podcasts or not, but yeah, get their content reviewed by Primetimer. And
We are super easy to get a hold of, Ken, because all of our staff have their emails right on the website. You know, there was this trend back when I was in newspapers where we were trying to hide from our readers, which I thought was curious, and we wouldn't publish our email addresses. I think that had more to do with the fact that most newspaper journalists were of a certain age, and they found email difficult to deal with. If they got more than about 20 emails in a day, this kind of started to blow their circuits, and they started to have a minor meltdown. So they became impossible to reach. It is not impossible to reach us at Primetimer. You just go and look on the About page, and there we are.
You know, that's interesting, because I think what you just shared is when the emails started coming in, we had to actually, those of us in business that were getting more than 20 or 30 or 40 and 50, now hundreds, we had to learn how to manage that. We had to learn how to up-level our own software inside of us and let go of thinking that we can handle it, first of all. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing that's going on right now with the media and with exactly the same thing. You turn on your TV, you go, oh, I think I'll subscribe to Google TV now. And you look, there's 400 channels, and each one of those channels has 24/7 programming. You're like, what the heck? Where do I find what I need to find? And then you go to Hulu or they're all the same, right? So it is an up-leveling of our thinking. And, you know, to that effect, how did Primetimer take all this information and consolidate it into a format that makes sense?
Well, one thing that we did when we decided to put together the Primetimer guide was we did want to make it a familiar package, right? So if you look at it, and you can see it's behind me, I'm also going to hold it up so it'll be redundant. But the Primetimer guide looks like a traditional TV reference guide or video reference guide. There was one that that those of us who were real TV geeks used to collect. It was a big fat doorstopper of a book, and it was called The Complete Directory to Network and Cable TV Shows. And it was historical, so it went back in time. And what was funny about that is that the co-authors, Tim Brooks and Earl Marsh, were actually able to put pretty much every show that had ever existed on American TV in prime time between two covers of a book. That would be impossible today. And Tim Brooks knows that, and he generously lent a foreword to our guide saying as much, like, we are in a new age, but maybe it's time for another crack at this through book form. The other thing I would say, Ken, is that people have to learn to navigate the way that they take in TV. I am still hearing from people who say, I keep hearing about this cord cutting. I am paying $100, $150 to the cable company for my cable TV channels. I know that I could do better with streaming, but I don't know where to start. So one of the things we determined from the first that we were going to put in this Primetimer guide was a complete and simple and straightforward guide to cutting the cord. So if you are on the fence and you are still paying too much for cable and you're not sure, you know, but your fear of change is being overwhelmed by your fear of missing out, or your fear, or you're looking at your bottom line and saying, I'm spending too much money on TV right now. Can streaming save me money? This is absolutely the time to be cutting the cord, to say bye-bye to your cable or satellite provider, and to get all of your TV through the internet and through those old things that we grew up with called rabbit ears. TV antennas are excellent these days, and when you put them out, you get a whole lot more TV signals in than you used to, because that too has expanded. That too has multiplied. We now have, in a typical urban market, instead of 12, 13, 14 TV stations, we now have 70 or 80, because the digital technology allows each broadcaster to split their signal up and offer multiple stations that sort of piggyback on their main network TV signal.
Okay. You just said something that I think a lot of people are not aware of. 70, 80 stations in their marketplace, and they're paying for cable. You know, I know me personally, my experience was it took me about a year, maybe even a year and a half, from the time I heard about, you know, making the change, getting cutting the cord and getting off a cable to the time I actually did it. And, you know, even when I did that, this has been a few years now, they didn't have that many stations out there. This is in San Diego. But things have changed. It's amazing, right? Okay, so how...
I guarantee you things have changed wherever you're watching TV right now, just in the last 10 years.
That's amazing. I did search rabbit ears, and boy, they've got some rabbit ears that look like real space-age stuff. Like,
yeah, you know,
little small ones. They got huge ones you can put on your roof. Any thoughts around that? Have you had any experience of what might be the most effective ones to use?
This is not a paid endorsement, but I must say I have dealt with the people at Antennas Direct for years. They're based out of St. Louis, and what I love about them is that if you're trying to get set up, you can pick up the telephone, and a human being who knows what he or she is talking about will answer it and will walk you through whatever challenge you have. They'll get online, they'll look up your area code, they'll find out your coordinates, and they'll tell you, they'll just flat out say, like, I had a guy here, we're in a rental right now, we're building a house, and so we're having to put up with this rental for a while, and I can't put my antennas, direct TV antenna on my roof, so I was trying to figure out someplace else I could sort of hang it out a window. And the guy said, well, And I wondered, should I get another antenna? He said, no, the one you've got is our top of the line. It's the best antenna. But there is an apartment building just across the street to the south, and that's going to be blocking a lot of your signals. So you're probably not going to get great quality until you can get it outside and on a roof. And that was extremely helpful. So these guys at Antennas Direct, again, have never paid me a dime for these endorsements, but they've got a great line of top quality indoor and outdoor antennas for every situation, whether you live in the city or in the country, in an apartment or in a house. The Antennas Direct, I highly recommend them.
That's great. Just to touch base on the satellite world, what's going on in satellite right now? Are you familiar with that at all? Is, you know, how are they competing in this streaming environment?
They are not competing. They are losing share by the minute, and soon will be really having to abandon their business model. I think it may continue to exist in some sort of a caretaker environment, like those big C-band dishes. Remember the big 10-footers that people used to put in their backyards? Those were on life support for many years after the smaller house-mounted dishes came along. And I suspect that that's where we're going to see it. But I think both, Dish TV and DirecTV are both, they both are losing double-digit share every year. People are just abandoning them. They have issues with the price. They're unhappy with customer support. And they're all trying out streaming and finding out, well, if I can get an internet signal in my house, I can really get all these other things. And this TV antenna thing is not like just some sort of fringe element. Over 10 million people have put TV antennas on their roof in just the last few years. TV antennas are back. And because they save people money, Ken. They offer free TV.
Wow. All right. So listen, I got to take another break. We come back. I want to talk about some of the... maybe some of the downsides of streaming, you know, or things that people should be aware of when they're streaming, and or maybe we look at some of the things we need to talk about antennas. I don't know if we would be talking about 5G. I don't know. But anyway, we'll come back and we'll be covering some of those subjects. So,
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, Welcome back, everybody. And I'm speaking today to Aaron Barnhart. He is the senior editor and the, I just went out of my mind, primetimer.com, sorry. And Primetimer, if you don't know, is the, right now, it's the leading source for TV news, reviews, and commentary out there. All right, let's talk about some of the downsides maybe we should look at with the streaming services, what to be aware of, and maybe things that we can remedy if we know what's going on.
Well, I think the number one problem with streaming TV for most people who watch streaming TV or thinking about doing it is just the sheer number of networks out there. There's Netflix, there's Hulu, there's Amazon Prime, there's HBO Max, there's Paramount Plus, there's Peacock, there's Discovery Plus, which is about to merge with HBO Max and form one channel, and there's Apple TV Plus. And so if you add these all up, you could actually still be saving money over your cable TV bill. But then we get into specialty channels. Let's say you're a fan of British TV shows like those Cozy Mysteries or comedies. Well, there's BritBox. If you like independent movies and shows with an edge, maybe you want to get AMC Plus. There are about 200 different premium streaming services out there in total. And I will say even a site like ours is hard pressed to keep up with all but about a dozen of those. Once you begin subscribing to these things, you become a little cost conscious, particularly if you're an old TV viewer, right? And you used to have a show that you liked on ABC and a show you liked on CBS and a show that you liked on NBC. Well, those three networks operate. Or their shows are streamed on three different premium streaming services. So you would have to get all three. And I think most people start to say this is just too much. So I think that is the big issue right now in streaming and why I think we're going to see further consolidation in the industry. Of course, I always have my eye on Apple because they've got more money than God. And at some point, I just think that they've gotten all the prestige. You know, they were right up there with HBO and Netflix in the number of Emmy nominations they've got. They put out high quality shows like Ted Lasso. And so I just think that they're going to be kicking the tires of some of these other streaming services and wondering they can really get big into content by buying another big streaming service. I think the customer is going to drive this. In the end, consumers are not going to want to subscribe to 8 or 9 different streaming services. You're probably going to want to subscribe to 4 or 5. That's going to be plenty of TV for most people.
Thank you. Dead on with that. Absolutely. You know, I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit. I'd like to get to know you a little more. I'm sure my audience would like to get to know you a little bit more. You're an interesting guy who's been in the business for decades, and you have so much information. What motivates you? What motivates you to move this company forward and you know, what your life? What's going on with you?
You know, honestly, Ken, I'm at a point in my life where if it doesn't interest me, I don't do it. You know, so Primetimer offers me a real challenge, and that is to navigate this video space. I was a TV critic for so many years, and it is a very hard job. It is harder than ever before because there's just so much content coming at you, and you have to make sense of it. And, you know, the remuneration probably isn't what it used to be back when newspapers had a fabulous business model and could pay well for even freelancers and stringers. So I feel like if you're going to be in this line of work, you really have to enjoy it, and you have to be mission-based. You have to have some sort of focus that drives your work. You have to be trying to make things better. And in this world, you know, I think there's a lot of room for better. And it can be a big thing. It can be a small thing. What we're doing, you know, we just moved from Kansas City back to suburban Chicago. And when, you know, getting here and getting into my community, I'm looking for a way that I can fit in and a way that I can do better. I'm a senior runner. I run in an old geezer group, but that age group is you discover is pretty competitive. There are a lot of guys out there who are trying to run faster, and so I put time and effort into that as well because I want to do that.
That's great. How many miles you get in a week?
Right now, I get between 60 and 70 miles a weekend. I slowly work myself up to pretty good volume. I had a chronic disease throughout my 30s and 40s, and so I was really on the sidelines for a long, long time. And when I finally got well, thanks to the American taxpayer and the National Institute of Health and the National Cancer Institute, I had a friend who was running, and I was inspired by her, and I decided to get with it. And, you know, I just slowly but surely built up volume running. I run every day, and it's the first thing I do every day, and it sets me up for a great rest of my day.
Gosh, you're my hero. I'm a runner too. I don't have those kind of numbers at all. You know, I run maybe 10, 12 miles a week right now, you know, so but keeps me going. So I love that. I personally like biking a little more than running, so I do.
I like watching biking. when we get off, I'm going to go back and watch the replay of today's stage from the Tour de France. You can't get me up on anything other than a slow moving bike. I will never be a triathlete.
Yeah. Well, and I also like swimming, so that's why I am a triathlete. So, let me ask you one other thing. If you're a young kid right now and you're going to get into the media industry, you know, where do you see the biggest opportunities for the young folks right now in your area?
I just think people need to who are getting into almost, and this is actually kind of a rule for life, but people want to hear stories told. If there's one thing that I have had drummed into my head from editing these 1,000 reviews in the Primetimer Guide to Streaming TV and trying to help people locate their next great TV show to watch, there's one thing that's been reinforced over and over, is that people love to hear stories. And that if you cannot express yourself in narrative form, if you cannot tell people what is the story with something, whether it's what you're doing or what a show is about or what your business is operating or why you're placing this call to this client, if you can't talk about why you want to fix cars or design buildings or teach school, everything needs a story. People love to hear stories. Work on your narrative skills. That means going back and reading the masters, reading people who are really good at spinning yarns. It can be whatever genre you like. If you like Stephen King, read Stephen King. If you like more action, if you like to read graphic novels, fine with me. The people who are really good at this are all good storytellers. And that's the DNA, I think, not just of a successful enterprise like a website or a TV show. It's really a key to connecting with people and being successful in whatever you do in life.
I really like that. I got to take another quick break. You know, when I come back, though, I want to ask you a little bit more about that time in your life where you were ill and then you changed it up. You had a lot of help, it sounds like, but you changed it up. I'd like to know what the most important lessons that you got that we may be able to pass that on to others from going from an illness to vital health. So well, welcome back, everybody. I'm interviewing Aaron Barnhart, who is the senior editor from Primetimer. And we're getting personal right now with Aaron a little bit. So Aaron, you know, that time you went through that big transitions in your life from ill health to feeling vital again, what would you say was some of the big lessons along the line that really made you who you are today?
You know, my recovery really is a triumph of probably both faith and science. I don't think it's possible to be cured just through willpower or believing that your healthy habits are going to get you through. I had an illness called hairy cell leukemia that in most cases is entirely curable with the first dose of chemotherapy. And I did not respond to it. And I had to go to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas to get treated for that. And then after that happened, I spent the next 10 years or so going in and out of remission. Nothing really quite stuck. And then the medicine I was taking stopped working. And then I was really up against it. And at that point, my wife, Diane, said, you need to be looking for new solutions. And she pointed me to NIH, the National Institutes for Health in Bethesda, Maryland, which most people associate these days with Dr. Anthony Fauci and the response to COVID. But the NIH is actually a series of institutes that deal with everything from mental health to aging to cancer. And so it was there that I was paired with Dr. Robert Kreitman. Dr. Kreitman was working on a number of combination drug therapies. And this is really the thing now. Science has discovered that when you put the right combination of conventional and chemotherapies together, maybe some of these futuristic immunotherapies, these next-gen drugs, and you combine it with something more conventional, it is really 1 + 1 = 4. They do something that no individual standalone drug was able to do before. Of course, anybody who's watched HIV/AIDS knows what a miracle combinations, cocktails and such did. So then I got my health back. And for about 3 or 4 years, Ken, I have to say, I just kind of didn't believe it. I went back to my regular life, but really, I quit the newspaper and I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do next. My wife and I were doing some history talks. She's a historian, and I was helping her out with that. But then really, and I have to say, it started with running. We had an intern at our business where she was a runner, and she really introduced me back. She showed me that it was fun to run. And at that point, Ken, I have to say faith took over. I started to run as though I was not going to get sick again, that in fact, this therapy they gave me was going to be long lasting, and it has proven to be exactly that. And I have added this whole new component to my life that's really changed my life. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to look like me to benefit from that. When you run a lot, it does make you it does slim you down. But really, people of all body shapes and sizes and running regimens, 10 miles a week, 30 miles a week, whatever, really all say, I run with them 5 days a week in groups around here. And they all get a lot of joy and fun and, of course, better health out of it by doing it. But I would say my recovery really was a combination of science and faith.
Well, you are an inspiration to a whole bunch of people out there. And, I love the fact that you use those terminology, you combine science and faith. And because from my point of view, that's the winning combination, right? If you just have one or the other, it's not the 1 = 2 = 4. It's, when you have science and faith, it's 1 = 2 = 10 or 20. And you move into your life again and you become a different individual as a result, which I'm sure you have too. Well, listen, Aaron, thank you for getting personal with me. I know you didn't expect that, but I'm glad we did. And I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for all the information you gave us about Primetimer. And I do hope my audience will go and check out the book and check out everything you're doing at primetimer.com. Primetimer.com for my audio audience. Okay. Well, take care. We'll hope to see you soon. And for all of you, I want to thank you for listening to the show today. The show is here for you. It's here for your family and friends. I hope you'll take some time today, maybe share the show with a friend or two, and really help them to help you and them to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible. Till next time, this is Ken Foster, and take care.